welcome to the Happy Ramp podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always by Barnabas Piper and Roland J. Martin. Boys, we are all very important and in-demand people. And do you know how I know that? It's because we're all traveling this week. traveling and talking about how much you're traveling is the way to let people know, just by way of a gentle reminder, how important and in-demand you are. So,
you have to exude a disaffected exhaustion about the whole thing.
So much time on the road. You know, I'm not excited. You know, I'm just packing another bag. Life on the road, you know. But Pipe, where are you, man? You are someplace glamorous. So I want you to let us know where you're at.
Well, Ronnie, I want to ask you not to be jealous, because I too am touring Middle America this week. I know that this is your dominion. But here I am. I'm treading. I should have asked permission. I'm in Kansas City right now at the time of this recording. Although this afternoon I'll be flying to Dallas, which is, no offense to our Texan listeners, but one of my least favorite places on earth.
When you say Kansas City, are you basically, in another word, saying the home of @JaredC. Wilson? Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, he owns that town.
I probably should have led with that. I should have said I'm in the hometown of Jared C. Wilson.
Pipe, are there vestiges of @JaredC. Wilson visible all over that city? You know what I mean? Just as you're driving around.
It's a bit more of an ambiance than it is like actual tangible visible things. I mean, there's not a lot of actual tangible visible stuff in Kansas City. But
Piper, you don't need my permission. You need Jared C. Wilson's permission to enter that town. You don't even need to talk to me. That's who you need to be talking to.
Well, I was invited here by his boss, so I'm gonna assume that I'm okay.
Because are you trying to say that @JaredC. Wilson has a boss? Because I think that's new information for me right now.
I mean, in terms of authority structure. I don't know that he actually it's the president
of the owner of Twitter.
It's the president of Midwestern Seminary is technically his boss. So I was here for a book launch event for a book we're doing on Charles Spurgeon, called The Lost Sermons of C.H. Spurgeon. There's my work plug. Now I can say whatever I want. I have to say, when you get 100 seminarians in a room, it makes me a little nervous about the future of the pastorate, because they basically look like they're either dressing up for the role of pastor or they look homeless. Like there's kind of no in between. It's like pretend pastors or real live homeless people.
Yeah, you know, they're just segmenting themselves. So the real life homeless guys are going to be church planters, and the other guys are going to they're going to get a job at the kind of church that has like 55 pastors on their roster.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't trust people in blue blazers. I don't know. I don't look at them and go,
baby, every guy down here over the age of like 12 is in a blue blazer. That means you don't trust anybody down here.
I'm a little skeptical.
Piper, suss that out with the homeless thing. What are you talking about? You're talking about just kid, like 21-year-olds just trying to look like I'm training to be a pastor, but I don't look like it. Is it that vibe?
Or like sadly, like 28 and 29-year-olds, they probably are married with, four kids. And, because they're working on a master's thesis or something, that they just apparently shaving and bathing and combing one's hair and grooming in general and wearing something.
I'm too busy for hygiene.
It's like ratty khakis with like white walking shoes or flip flops or something. I mean, there's sort of a range, because some of them are sort of like the granola kind of hipster or like homeless hipster kind of look, and others just look like they're homeschoolers who got kicked out of the house and never changed their clothes, and they don't really know how to make it in the world.
Yeah, those are like the 19-year-olds that are probably there.
I looked around and my first thought was, I don't know that I would want to sit under any of these guys as a pastor. I mean, granted, I'm older than most of them, which does make a difference to some degree, but it's just it was disorienting to me, and probably something I need to get used to, because I'll probably be on seminary campuses a lot more. But maybe, I don't know. It was an interesting thing, especially when you look at the professors and they're like these clean cut, sharply dressed, they look like skilled professionals, and the students look like there's no way they'll ever make it there.
Well, Pipe, it's interesting because I was, you know, in my travels last week, of course, I was on the Trinity campus for a few days and hanging out with D.A. Carson, obviously, and Kevin Van Hooser, obviously, with a little special guesting by.
I don't know who the other guy is, but
you know, but yeah, but it was funny, like checking out the range of the kind of dudes that are investing, you know, there, and it's like it's literally all over. So you see these dudes that literally are decked out, right? You're like, oh my god, like who are you trying to impress right now? And then you got the other guys that look like they have just perpetually been waking up their whole life.
Dude, they're still just getting rolling. You know, they're easing into this thing.
Yeah, they would be hungover if not in that context. You'd be like,
if they were allowed to be hungover, yeah. They would be hungover. Right.
You expected to see them at 7 a.m. at Denny's, you know, eating off the night before. But no, like they're in systematic theology.
I think you mean Panera, but I think we all get the point. Yes.
Yeah. Panera is the Denny's of the seminary crowd.
There's some truth in it. It's funny. That was the first place that was recommended to us on campus because we had some gaps between meetings. Somebody's like, well, there's a Panera Bread just around the corner. I'm like, well. Of course, there's a
Panera Bread just around the corner. It's a seminary. What else would there be?
You're a Christian and you have some time to kill.
There's not going to be a Tim Hortons around the corner. There's going to be a Panera, right? There's not going to be a Dunkin' Donuts.
And we don't recommend Starbucks because they have red cups. And so, because that's the devil.
Yeah. That's on that. We'll save that for our Christmas app.
That's right. It's seasonal. Sorry. I'm getting my seasons out of place. Your love for Christmas is spilling over onto me, Ronnie.
Hang on, boys.
Pipe, you have a little business to conduct, and it's special. It's a special item of business this week,
and I appreciate getting the platform for this because you guys aren't making any money off of this. Normally, that is like that's the ticket in is pay us.
That's really how we're geared. I mean, Ron and I are businessmen first and foremost. Pipe, you should know this about us. We're about making deals. We're about corporate life. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, really, what we're doing here is. We're kind of letting our guard down for a week. It's like your pro bono work.
I appreciate
it. It is. Yeah. Yes. We're giving. This is like charity work for us.
I love being a charity case. It's my favorite thing.
Absolutely. So Pipe, tell us about your product.
So I have a book coming out March 1st called The Curious Christian. And so at the time of when we release this, that'll be, I think, a little bit less than 2 weeks out. It's about 10 days out. So I wanted to let listeners know about that. But if you go to curiouschristianbook.com, you can read more about the book. You could order it through there. But there's also a little quiz we put together to just sort of gauge what kind of a curious person are you. And it's one that I wrote. So it makes fun of people because that's what I enjoy doing. It's one of my, I think it's a spiritual gift. So you go to curiouschristianbook.com. You can check that out. You can go to Amazon and get it. They have the Kindle editions up there, paperback, the audiobook that I read. So if you love my voice and want to listen to it for like 11 straight hours, you can get the audiobook through Audible. Or you can go to christianaudio.com if you're a member there or have an account there. You can get it through there. And sneak peek, we're probably – going to work out some sort of a Christian audio special to do through the podcast. And maybe you want to hold off on that, but just wanted to let people know that the book is very soon coming out. Go to curiouschristianbook.com, take the little quiz, see what kind of a curious person you are and be made fun of a little bit. And then buy one for you and for all your friends.
Nice.
There you go. That's good business, Pipe.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Can I just tease another little business deal that we have in the works?
Please do.
There's going to be Happy Rant branded coffee. I'm in discussions, high level discussions with a hipster coffee roaster who is not from America. So that makes him even more kind of mysterious and compelling in the coffee world. He is from Puerto Rico. He's roasting his own coffee. He does an amazing job and he's developing a blend just for this program. So the blend will be co-branded between his company and ours, and it will be available only for Happy Rant listeners.
If you were going to describe coffee that tasted like the Happy Rant podcast, like what are those flavor notes?
Fascinating question, Pipe. This is why you're a good radio personality. You know, you bring that kind of intrigue on a week by week basis. I would say. And Ron, you know what? Let's have Ron go first. You're the coffee guy, baby. I want you to tease out what kind
guys,
of flavors
you know. I know that you like, and our listeners like to think I'm the coffee guy, but I'm actually very humble in my coffee intake. I am kind of a Folgers guy because my wife likes Folgers, but Yeah, I'm not really that concerned, but I'll tell you what I like. I like more of a – this is what I'm hoping for our brand. And by the way, let me just add before I get into this. There's a part of me that's excited, and then there's a part of me that's fearful about our coffee brand because it's tough when you peak early. And this is a peak for us. This is a peak for us. Yeah,
you know, I don't want to peak. I see this as the tip of the iceberg, though. There's going to be so many other products. And
the first rung on the ladder.
This is the first rung on the ladder. So many other deals and partnerships that are in the works because of this, I think.
So what I like in my coffee is I typically like a very mild – but very kind of warm, flavorful roast. I don't like the really dark, heavy, bitter roast. So I'd kind of like a blend. That's what I'm hoping for because that's what the rant is, right?
So well, I mean, it's, I think,
we don't take ourselves too – yeah, go ahead.
It's almost like we need multiple roasts because that – you just described your personality, I think. Kind of mild, mellow, warm. Whereas I love dark roast. That's a little bit – it's a little bit bitter. It's a little bit strong. And you know, it'll
not for everybody.
Yeah. And you know, this is an investment in this dark, like kick you in the teeth, wake you up cup of coffee. That's absolutely my preference.
Okay.
And so I don't know how you blend those two into a single roast. Maybe we can work with this person to have like the Ronnie roast and the Piper roast. And then Ted, what would yours be?
You know what? Mine will be just beautiful when it's photographed. You know what I mean? So if you're the kind of hipster that wants to like put your coffee in a mug and like put it on your desk that used to be a barn door and then take a picture of it, that's my blend. It's beautiful when photographed. It's shallow. There's kind of nothing to it beyond that. But it will look great in a picture.
You know what's funny right now is I feel like our listeners need to know that right now what they're getting sort of a view of is how our prep meetings go. There's a lot of business going on right now. There's a lot of visioning. There's a lot of dreaming. Yeah, there's a lot of ambition.
That's
a lot
right.
of vision casting.
Yes. Right.
And so guys, if you're listening out there right now, this is really getting sort of a tiny eyes view of what goes on behind the scenes at the HR here. So.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
It is fascinating.
I mean, just to peek behind the curtain, and
we are fascinating.
I feel like this is. I mean, it's a culture podcast. It's a humor podcast. It's a business podcast, really, though. Yes. That's what the listener is getting. And boys, we have a few things to talk about here quickly before we get completely sidetracked on our business deals. There was yet another ridiculous award show that happened in our culture. It was the Grammys. It happened about a week ago, and there's been an outcry of people on Twitter begging us to talk about the Grammys. And I have to come clean here and say that in years past, KK and I were huge award show people. Like, we would have parties and we would sort of get excited about these things. And then I don't know how many years ago it was, but we just sort of quit completely. I think it jumped the shark in that the whole thing, like, kind of overnight became just boring and ridiculous. So I didn't watch the Grammys. I didn't go anywhere near the Grammys. We're going to talk about Chance the Rapper in a minute. So I did watch that online, but I don't know. What do you guys want to say about the Grammys? People want to hear us talk about this thing. So Big R, you're the music guy. You're the man of the cloth. You're the coffee guy. Why don't you get us started on this?
Yeah, man. I appreciate that, man. I've always struggled with the Grammys because what it does is it just caters to, you know, it caters to just the heights of, you know, contemporary pop music, and which again, I like a lot of contemporary pop, but it's just, it really is really kind of what pushes it, kind of what generates, you know, the categories is sales and popularity and things of that nature. So to me, the Grammys are just not incredibly compelling and interesting. And every once in a while, something kind of pops up out of them where you go, well, that's unusual. They took a risk there. They took a chance. They invited an artist that is not at the top of the charts, and they're giving them a chance. So, I don't really engage that much with it. And I guess maybe it's just sort of my background and my general, you know, I'm a little more drawn to artists that are a little less known. And of course, you guys are going to say, of course, but just guys that are a little more on the fringe naturally, right? It's just music. The kind of music I like is not something you're going to see being featured at the Grammys, you know? So, but nevertheless, I still, you know, I enjoy the spectacle. I think that it gives way to having artists being able to put on really, you know, amazing performances. And I think that's kind of what you get out of it more than anything, is you'll get artists that are at their peak, having the budget, the money, and the platform to put on a pretty amazing performance, which of course we saw with a Chance the Rapper, who everybody is just
It would be helpful if they hired a sound guy who didn't suck, though.
You know what, though? That's always the complaint, because how do you capture that? It's super difficult. And, yeah.
I mean, there was a couple of performances where, like, one singer's mic just wasn't on or wasn't working.
Totally.
And, like, that seems like a mild oversight for an audio performance.
That feels like a lot of people are fired now because of that. But, yeah.
But again, the baseline of the job is like turn the mics on. So I don't feel too terrible for the person who failed to do that job.
What did you think, man? What's your take on the Grammys?
I like the Grammys more than other award shows because it usually for two reasons. One, there's usually just a high level of ridiculous. Like the Oscars are so pretentious that I want to smack three quarters of the people who say anything.
Right.
The Grammys make me laugh just kind of nonstop because there's absurdity. Some of the performances are ridiculous. Some of them are amazing and some of them are.
It's like the NBA draft in that regard.
It's a little bit like that. Yeah. And then the other thing is the people who are there in attendance. Now, granted, they're only showing the A-listers. They're not showing the upper decks. They're enjoying themselves for the most part. You know, they get to enjoy other people's performances, and then you get to watch people in like tuxes and evening gowns try to like groove to hip hop or something like that. And you know, you watch like a country star all decked out for the evening listening to Chance the Rapper, and you're like, this is just amazing. It's so bizarre and funny. And so that's always fun. And then in past years, there's always one or two performances that are just phenomenal. You know, there's one or two total standouts. Usually they do one or two tributes to musicians who have passed. So this year it was David Bowie and Prince. And we've talked about them on the podcast before. But David Bowie was in the previous year. And then Prince this year. And they did a Bee Gees tribute, even though they're not dead. And those can be either really great or really awful. I thought the Prince one was really cool. Granted, I'm a bit biased. So there's a lot of reasons I enjoy the Grammys, and just so much to poke fun at.
Yeah, and I think and I really enjoy, you know, I was looking forward to Daft Punk with The Weeknd because I felt like that was a little out of the box, and I appreciated it. I didn't think it was a great performance.
The Weeknd he sounds like every other R&B crooner in the last 20 years. Just
he really does.
Nothing special.
Ways. Yeah. But the fact that he worked with Daft Punk on his new record showed a lot of, bravitas. So that was a cool move.
Did you say gravitas or bravitas?
I used the B, bravitas.
I haven't heard that. I like it.
I just made that up. That's a new
strong
word.
Yes.
Guys, can we file that under new made up words under the rant?
Yeah. Hashtag it with I'm category. With us. Bravitas.
Yes.
I like it.
Bravitas. B-R-A-V-A-T-A-S. Yeah,
that's strong. I thought
you got that, Big T. Big T, do you got that word? Have you filed that away?
I got it, man. I filed it. Yeah, okay. I filed it.
Are you with us? Do you care?
Thanks for asking. Thanks for keeping me engaged in the.
Hey, Big T. Hey, we've been talking about this thing called the Grammys that happened a few days ago. I don't know if you've been following, but like, what are your thoughts on this this music awards show?
Well, as you know, I have to admit, I'm a little divided in my attention because I'm getting ready for my big travel opportunity because of how in demand and important I am. So,
like, basically, I'm ready for your own Grammys.
I am. I'm disaffected and bored about it because that's how I'm supposed to look and feel about travel. But I'm really actually like kind of excited about it. So I'm only half listening to this combo about the Grammys.
That was really vulnerable. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
No, I know. Yeah. I. You know, we've been friends way too long. I can't BS you in this way. You know, I'm not going to slip anything past by old Ron Martin and Barnabas Piper. So, boys, let's go one layer deeper with this Grammys discussion. There was a lot of excitement in the Christian community about one Chance the Rapper. I did watch this performance. Again, full disclosure, I have to come clean about my own hip hop. usage. For me, there are like three hip hop records. Public Enemy, that's one era. Dr. Dre's The Chronic, that's kind of the second era, and then 50 Cent's Get Rich or Die Trying. is like the third era for me.
And that's really the motto of this podcast is get rich or die trying. So
it is. That's the impetus for all my business dealings and kind of how I live my life.
It's why you wrote an indie film, because what better way to get rich or die trying?
That's it. Yeah. Do a ton of work for a film that probably no one will see. I may or may not have an entire wall in my house devoted to automatic weapons that I'm occasionally photographed in front of, a la 50 Cent. That's how deep this goes, man. But all this to say, I think you guys could speak to this. I think it's kind of an aging thing where I just don't care about current rappers because I found the ones that I like. You know what I mean? Mm. Like I have all the rap records that I want. So this Chance the Rapper situation is not that exciting to me one way or the other. But apparently in Pipe, you can flesh this out more. People are getting excited because he like mentioned some Christian stuff in his song. Is that where we're going with this?
It didn't just mention Christian stuff. So he's a professing believer, very vocal about the role of God. Like he won two or three awards and profusely thanked God in all of them.
Pipe, did we know he was a professing believer before the Grammys?
That's you followed him closely, you did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
The broader, whiter, Christian world had not claimed him as a believer. So he wasn't one of our sort of, hey, look, we're cool too guys, until the Grammys, I think. But now everybody can claim him because he said God. But then he also performed. He has a song that he performed. And so it opens with How Great Is Our God, the Chris Tomlin song, and then goes into his part. But he performed it also with Kirk Franklin. And so it was like a gospel hip hop kind of blend. And it was a fantastic performance. It was really good. I knew the moment that started, I was like, oh, all the white Christians are going to be like, oh, look, we have a cool black Christian who we can claim as our own now. And it's
besides Lecrae, I think you want to say.
That's well, besides Vodi Bauckham.
But
I mean, is Vodi not enough for us? I mean,
Vodi is not enough.
He's sort of like the Chance the Rapper of the homeschool community.
that's exactly how I think of him.
I think he's the Chance the Rapper of the Chance the Rapper community. I mean, let's just call it what it is.
But I don't know. Lecrae is a Christian artist, whereas this guy made it big, like critically acclaimed rapper.
Yeah. He's a general market guy. Yeah absolutely.
And he's not. And you know, you listen to his songs. It's not theology. I mean, there's some. Mm-hmm. He has some profoundly true lyrics, and he's a really good artist and the kind of hip hop artist who I like, because it's artistry, not sort of club music. I don't really like club hip hop, but I don't know. I get so uncomfortable when we just attach ourselves to somebody, and the Christians are constantly trying to legitimize what we believe by being like, look, another figurehead. Like, you remember 5 years ago when Bono was kind of still relevant and he was a person of faith and kind of vague about his Christian beliefs, but some people just swore up and down that he was a born again Christian and others didn't. And we so badly wanted to claim him as one of our tribe. And we do the same thing like when Jeremy Lin was famous and Steph Curry. And it's like, we constantly need famous people to legitimize the thing that it doesn't really need any legitimization. It's just that is a thing about Christian culture that forever throws me for a loop.
Dude, you know what? I have to come clean about something. I've helped the ridiculousness of that phenomenon that you just described two times. I wrote a book about Jeremy Lin, and then I wrote a book about Robert Griffin III. And both of those things were the kind of shameless, like, you know, a attachment disorder thing that you're describing vis-a-vis Christians. So, to be clear, both men blew their knees out immediately after the books came out, and neither book did well. So,
wow, I think our future athletes need to remember that about you.
That's right.
Yeah, there's like the Madden curse, the Sports Illustrated curse, the Ted Cluck curse.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, and I think it's like the triumvirate of curses right there. I wouldn't mess with that. Don't ever write a biography of me. I mean, I don't need my knees so much, but I imagine it's going to like blow out my typing fingers or something.
If I did a book with Chance the Rapper, it would blow out like his vocal cords.
There would be no next record.
He would go on a cocaine binge like 2 days later.
Exactly.
He'd blow out his conscience.
Oh my gosh, dude. That's funny and dark. Boys, let's talk about hip hop in general. So this is sort of, it's shaping up to be the hip hop episode, minus all that stuff about seminary on the front end of it. But
it's just kind of hip hop now. If we're gonna
dude, what's funny to me is how Christians have sort of in the last, what, 5 years, 5, 10 years, we've really like hopped on the hip hop train in the sense that like this seems to be the genre that we care about. Like, even nerds, even like Christian nerds are like white papering about hip hop. So you get like, I don't know, like Boyce College guys, like writing papers about it. And,
guys in blue blazers are writing about hip hop.
Guys in blue, it's a blue blazer phenomenon, man. This has become a blue blazer approved topic and it just blows my mind. I don't get it. I need someone to explain this to me because of all the genres, I mean, you would think like, skinny, weaselly, like acoustic guitar hipster music would be our purview. You know what I mean? But yet here we are like having it out over hip hop. It's fascinating. Pipe, what do you make of this? You're a guy who kind of moves in both circles. I know you listen to hip hop, but I also know that, you know, the blue blazer crowd is a part of your day-to-day
it's a world I have to be able to navigate, even though I don't own a blue blazer. And anytime I put on a jacket of any variety, I feel like I'm wearing a costume.
Me too, man.
I can do it ironically, but go on.
that's right. You can wear it with skinny jeans and people are like, oh, he looks so cool.
As I do.
As you do, of course. This is a little bit like the claiming of the very public Christian because there's good in it. You know, it's not a bad thing when somebody publicly professes to be a believer and seems to live it out. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we hang a lot of hopes on it. This to me seems a little bit like, first of all, it feels like a discovery thing for white people. Like they grew up listening to DC Talk and thought that, you know, Love Is a Verb was hip hop. And then they discovered that like there's actual real artists who do this stuff. And then there was a whole era of hip hop that was much more like aggressively gangster rap. And that's not a thing that's easy to sort of in good conscience attach yourself to as a conservative Christian person. But then there's the rise of like Christian hip hop artists who are pretty good. And that gave people license. And then they started to listen to the people who influenced those artists. And as people do in trying to be cultural experts, they sort of like, oh, I love hip hop. Like you've listened to hip hop for 4 years and Lecrae was the first one you ever heard. Like that doesn't count. Mm-hmm. And then there's the lyrical aspect of it. You know, the fact that you can say more in a 4 minute hip hop song than you can in a 4 minute pop song. And I just, the thing that I don't get though, and I'm going to poke a nerve on this one. I think some of it is with people's rising awareness and desire for things like racial reconciliation and diversity, hip hop feels like a way to be diverse in the safest way possible. Because you can listen to black music and you don't have to know any black people.
Dude, it reminds me of that scene in Office Space where, remember the Michael Bolton character?
Yes.
And he's in his car and he's listening to hip hop and he's got it cranked up.
Yes.
And he pulls up to a four-way stop and there's like a black dude walking along the street next to him and he like turns the music down and locks his door.
And just hunkers down. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's – and I feel a little bit like that. I mean, because it's not uncommon to hear, you know, 9 white hipsters or 7 blue blazers because they're always in groups of 7 biblical and all that talking about the intricacies of hip hop. But you don't see them like that's not diversity, you know?
Right.
I like jazz. I like blues. I like a lot of music that is traditionally, I mean, African-Americans created it and are the best artists at it. That has nothing to do with racial sensitivity or diversity. But I think there's an element of that because it makes white people feel closer to that without ever having to take a risk. So I don't know that that's true. I'm sort of – I think that that is an – I think that's an element of it.
Mm. Yeah. No, that totally makes sense. Big R, what do you make of this?
Yeah, man. I'm with Piper. I think he's right. I think the other side of that is that, you know, I think we're very industry driven. So I think that's always kind of a disappointment for me, is that it seems like Christianity and sort of Christian industry just hates – they've just hated so badly about living in the margins of things, you know? Mm-hmm. And so what they do is they're drawn to anything that verges into a pop art category, especially mm-hmm. if it becomes highly influential. And mm-hmm. so they just grab hold of it because, again, whether it's perceived or real – man, we hate that this Christianity thing has kept us, you know, in the margins in terms sure. of artistic expression. When I think that if they would just go back and embrace some of the margins, we would have a richer artistic community within, you know, all of our different Christian tribes. But the fact mm-hmm. that they are just so eager to have something that hits more of a wider circle and a mm-hmm. wider platform, that again, it's all we do is embrace the things that everybody else is embracing. And what it does, it doesn't give any exclusivity to what it is that we're doing, which is a very, very like marginalized message, right? And again, this is getting into a bunch of other things. But so when I see Chance the Rapper, it's like everybody's just super pumped because Lecrae's selling a million records. It's like that's all great and there's nothing wrong with that. But I just think like what about all the other stuff that is like really shows really great artistic sensibility that not a lot of people know about, but you have Christians engaging in those things. Like can we ever give some props and some attention to those types of artists? But we don't. We fall into the same mindset and the same trap that we get from the general market, which is it's big, therefore it is. And mm-hmm. I think it's kind of a bummer that we do that. I wish we didn't do that. I wish we stayed more marginalized, and I think the art would be better if we did that. That's not taking anything away from Chance or Lecrae or these guys, because they do have a high artistic element, but it's still pop art, and the only reason why it's getting attention is because it's getting attention. Well, there's my rant for the day, boys.
Yeah, but, wow.
I think that what Ronnie's saying makes a ton of sense, because we live in a culture where things matter in direct correlation to how popular they are. You know, you get the rising tide of popularity determines the value of something. It has no value on its own. You know, and reality TV is a great example of this. You know, things that like tens of millions of people watch shows that are just patently absurd and valueless because they're sort of titillating and popular. And you see the same thing in the Christianity side, where like we value churches based on popularity and size and speakers based on that, but there's not the inherent value there. Like if you broke down what they're saying, like that's not any better than what anybody else is saying. And there's better preachers who are at small churches. And I think in the art world, it's no longer an art world. It is a consumer product world. And so there are artists in it. Like I would say Chance the Rapper is a genuine artist. I think Lecrae is incredibly skilled. But that's not what attracts people as much as the popularity. That attracts the first people, and then everybody else just follows based on popularity. And so it is sort of a lemming religious thing where people just sort of follow along, I think.
Mm. Boys, I'm going to leave you with one more question. And you can say a name, you can explain your rationale behind this. Of all the landscape of sort of Christian authors that we interact with in our lives, could all the way from the more famous ones to the less famous ones, which do you think would be most likely to cut a rap album? Or who would you want to see cut a rap album?
Well, those are two very different questions.
Well, maybe answer them both.
Most likely, it out, Pipe. Take it.
Let's see here.
The one you would most want to cut a rap album.
Because I frankly don't want anyone to cut a rap album. I'm fine with that.
Maybe do you not listen to rap?
No, not at all.
So you're not hopping on this thing.
I am not hip-hopping on this thing. No, absolutely not.
Most likely.
So you're not trying to cadge a little bit of like cultural cachet by saying that you listen to hip-hop.
No, honestly.
That's not a thing that you're doing.
Not at all. I mean, I'm not bitter against it. I see some of the artistic, you know, especially in the production of some of it, which is if I would listen to it, it would just be for the sounds and the production. But I literally have like zero interest in it as an art form. And I'm not saying it's not an art form. I believe it is. Personally, zero interest. Yeah.
Wow, man. That makes you way less, you know, culturally relevant than
it does. It
pretty
totally
much everyone
does.
We know. But I appreciate the honesty.
I appreciate you appreciating the honesty.
You got it, baby. You got it. Pipe, do you have a couple of names for us?
Well, I mean, I don't know if he counts as an author because he eschews actual publishing, but I wouldn't be surprised if Stephen L. Trogi put out a hip-hop album. I mean, if it would be like 4.5 tracks long, and the last one he just would sort of quit doing halfway through. But that seems like something he might do.
Does he eschew actual publishing, or does actual publishing?
Oh, he doesn't have very many nice things to say about the publishing industry.
Why not? What did they do to him?
Only the good stuff, Chugs.
He's not an A-lister as an author, which means that he, you know, you only get so many.
Which means that clearly the industry is wrong.
You only get so many perks. Well, and I think he only published with one publishing company. So I think, you know, that can leave a bad taste in the mouth without seeing how everybody else treats authors. And
true.
And then he just likes doing things his way, which is why I think he could put out a hip hop album. I wouldn't be shocked, even though I don't think he's a huge hip hop fan. I just feel like he might take a creative risk. Who would I want to put one out?
Besides Trevin Wax?
There is no serious answer to this question.
Besides Owen Strand?
Funny story about Trevin Wax and hip hop.
Yeah. That is a good hip hop name too, though. Big T,
that's
you're
a
right.
Great hip hop name.
When I started at Lifeway 3.5 years ago, I worked three offices down from Trevin, and I was listening to Bone Thugs and Harmony in my office one day, quietly enough that I wouldn't offend my coworkers. But I'm listening to this, and he pops his head into my office just to say hey. And I turned the music off because I didn't want to hurt his feelings or something. And he's like, oh, who is that? And I said, Bone Thugs and Harmony. He goes, oh, is that a Christian group? And that sums up.
Boy, he doesn't want that story told out loud, man.
Well, I think I tweeted it immediately following. So this is Trevin is fantastic, and he's not afraid to laugh at himself, and also to acknowledge that he doesn't know anything about the hip hop world. But that sort of sums up the Christians' interaction with hip hop. They're like, oh, it has a beat. Is that Lecrae? So that was amusing to me. Trevin doing a hip hop album would be funny to me. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I feel like Rick Warren in his Hawaiian shirt doing some sort of hip hop thing would be sort of ironically and really painfully amazing. Mm. I think I could go with that. Other than that, there's nobody, because I feel like they would either take it too seriously and be terrible, or they just wouldn't be capable. Like Tim Keller doing it would be incredible, but like can you honestly envision Tim Keller stepping out in that bold of a way?
I can't. I tried.
Do you have an answer for this question, Ted?
You know, the Trogs thing makes a lot of sense to me. Like if I were laying odds on who would do it, it would be him. Trevin Wax, as we've discussed, incredible hip hop name.
Yeah, great name.
He is coming into this with the advantage of that already.
What about hey Big T? What about I was just thinking, Matt. You made me think of like I think KDY would be a good hip hop name. He could do kind of a Macklemore like white, you know, like hip hop thing. I mean, just seeing him attempt to do that would be really, really amazing.
Kind of white, kind of Dutch American rap.
You right, know? kind of nerdist Dutch American Dutch reformed rap.
Nerdist Dutch American reformed rap. I like it. Ronnie
and KDY, he has kind of the initials there too. You don't know what it means. You know, you're like a little out.
It's
on
kind
that.
Of mysterious. It's a little bit dangerous, you know? Yeah. And the cover could be like just a silver Honda Odyssey, you know, and with like some cash cascading down on it. And not any kind of specific rims, just
one red tulip sort of sitting on the hood or something like that. Just for some symbolism.
Now just for talking. Some symbolism, just for a little pop of color.
Maybe call the group like KDY and Tulip or something like that. You know,
would either of you be shocked to find out that one of these, you know, famous preachers has the hidden talent of like he's a freaky good rapper? Like I would not be stunned to find out that David Platt can lay down some lyrics.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I mean, it just,
I don't know why that makes sense, but it does.
Because he strikes me as somebody who has a life that he used to live, that this, yes, this current iteration, it was like the God turned his life totally around. He has some, he has something in his past. Like I bet he knows every lyric, from like every major hip hop album,
yes,
from like 91 to 96 or something like that. It has to be the case.
And the fact that he's so like monotone now when he preaches and everything, you could just see him like basically like turning into this different person.
Yeah, like the lights, the beat, that. And it's just poof, and it just like, yeah, it just drops. I could absolutely see that.
Yeah,
Platy. Well, Platy is our guy.
Yeah. Let's talk to DP, and we'll figure out if he has something going on the side.
Platy, if you're listening, let us know if you were a hip hop fan at any point in your life. I really do want to know about this now.
Yeah, we'll bring you on the show. We'll talk hip hop. We'll talk, you know, missions, and we'll make it all good. We'll round it out. You know,
absolutely.
David Platt starring in 9 Mile.
9 Mile. Oh, I love it. I love it. Boys, we have done what we always do on this program, and if you guys want to go longer, I have to go. But do you guys want to keep talking, or should we just wrap this thing?
I think we can land this.
No, yeah, pun, but let's wrap it.
Yeah. It's been good. Oh, I love that, Big R. Strong. I love what you did just there.
That was good.
No pun.
Boys, we've no done pun, what we pun. Always do on the program. We've wandered to and fro, and we have enjoyed it. We've enjoyed talking hip hop with you, and until next time. Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. Resonate has helped us with our editing and mastering pretty much from the beginning of the podcast. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Mark and Jake do a fantastic and timely job with all sorts of podcast services. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast.
If you're tired of parenting advice and news headlines that are more confusing than assembling IKEA furniture, we've got just the podcast for you. My dear friend Abby and I are here to help you navigate the parenting roller coaster.
Should your kids be on social media? What should you tell a friend facing an unplanned pregnancy? These are just some of the many questions we tackle on our podcast.
Subscribe to The Real Deal of Parenting wherever you find your podcast.